Could begin on Wednesday or Thursday. So we assume that it might be falling on Thursday, most probably, although we are not sure. So we are going to begin our programs here next Thursday. And Samahat Sayyid Mustafa Qazwini is going to be with us, inshallah. Although I would like to ask all your prayers for the Sayyid. He's doing well. I talked to him this morning, actually. He's doing well, but he's still weak from the ailment that he had. He couldn't come and talk to us today. Maybe even tomorrow he might probably won't be able to make it here. But alhamdulillah, he's doing well with your prayers. And we'll pray for him, inshallah, later on for his speedy recovery so we can see him. But definitely, inshallah, he's going to be with us the whole month. And on your way out, please take one of these, each family, one, please. You can find it on the website. And I personally, sent the picture of it to many people. And you can maybe, you can take a picture of it if you want, and you can keep it with your phone. It'll be probably a lot easier. So wherever you go, you know the timing and the programs that we have, inshallah, right here. And this Sunday, as you all know, it falls with the occasion of the Mother's Day. And we had many mothers among us here that they lost their lives here, and they're not among us this year. So I would like to ask everybody to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for all the mothers who passed from our community, and of course all the good mothers around the world. And I always remember Our Lady Khonumi Rafati, who was truly a mother for all many of us, at least me. She was like a mother to me, and we were together last year about this time here, but now this year she is not with us. So I would like to ask all of you to please recite Surah Al-Fatiha for all those mothers who passed. They were among us and they passed, especially our dear Khanumi Rafati. Ma'a salata ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صدق الله العظيم. We're going to recite few verses from the Holy Quran, and inshallah we'll invite our dear brother Sayyid Mehdi Qazwini to the podium. I just opened the Quran for those of you who would like to follow with us. It happened to be Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 65. Maybe about 4 or 5 ayahs, inshallah. Salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. لم تر أن الله سخر لكم ما في الأرض والفلك تجري في البحر بأمره ويمسك السماء لكل
لكنهم ناسكوه ألا ينازعنك في الأمر وادع إلى ربك إنك لعلى هدى مستقيم إن جادلوك فقل الله أعلم بما الله يحكم بينكم يوم القيامة فيما كنتم فيه تختلفون ألم تعلم أن الله يعلم ما في السماء ألم تعلم أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض إن ذلك في كتاب إن ذلك على الله يسير صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Quick overview, translation. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Don't you see that Allah, He made subject to you, man, all that is on the earth? And the ships that sail through the sea by His command, He withholds the sky, the rain, from falling on the earth, except by His leave or by His permission. Indeed, Allah is the most kind and the most merciful to man. He is the one that give you life, and then He will take your life, and then He will give you life. Indeed, most grateful the human beings, or truly man is the most ungrateful creature. To every people we have appointed rites and ceremonies which they must follow. Let them not then dispute with you on the matter. But you invite them to the Lord, for you are assuredly on the right way, on the right side. If they do wrangle with you, say Allah knows best what is you are doing. Allah will judge between you on the day of judgment concerning the matters in which you differ. Don't you know that Allah knows all that is in the heavens and the earth? Indeed, it is all in a grip, in a record, and that is easy for Allah. Sadaq Allahu Ta'ala. Please recite another salawat. Well, I would like to invite Sayyid Mehdi Ghazvini to the podium with your loud salawat, please.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. حبيبي إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلدكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. The verse that I just read is one of the more commonly repeated verses of the Quran. And it's a famous verse, so much so that when I was reading, I noticed a few people were also reading with me. It's commonly repeated. And it reflects one of the central themes of the Quran, and that is that there are certain levels of belief. And not everybody is equal in their level of belief. Now, even though people are not equal in their level of belief, it does not mean that one person is more superior, inherently more superior than the other. One person being superior or one person being inferior, that doesn't exist in the scale of the Quran. No one person is more superior than the other. There are certain levels, and for those levels there's a favor in the eyes of God, but not that one person is more superior or one person is less than the other. And those levels are spoken about, they're described in different verses of the Quran. So you had people who joined the Muslim community from the beginning. And these were the people who, in terms of materials, gave up more than people who maybe later joined the community of the Muslims. So some of these people were the muhajirin, the immigrants, the migrants, the ones that left Mecca and went to Medina with the Prophet. They gave up their homes, they gave up their livelihood, they gave up their businesses, they gave up their work. They had to find something else and start from fresh and start from new when they came to Medina. Some of them participated in earlier battles that later Muslims who came to Medina or who were in Medina did not participate in. There were a group of people who waited until the Prophet came back from Medina to Mecca in order to join the Muslim community. And the Quran describes all of these people at different levels of belief, because some of those people that later joined the Muslim community, who stayed in Mecca, they did not have the same strength of belief than the earlier people who left Mecca. Because if their belief was as strong, then they would have left 13 years earlier, when the Muslims initially left Mecca to go to Medina. But even with all of that, that doesn't mean that one group was superior than the other or better than the other. It's simply different levels of belief. And so what this verse says, and this is Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49. And chapter 49 it's a very critical chapter, it's significant, in that much of the Islamic akhlaq and adab, much of the etiquette and the mannerisms and the behavior is taught in this chapter. And the reason it's referred to as Surah Al-Hujurat is because it begins, the theme of the chapter is about the hujurat, which were the rooms or the apartments where the Prophet Muhammad had his family members living in. They were different rooms, they were different apartments, different chambers, if you will. And so people would come to the Prophet, and there were of course barriers to these rooms, and they would call him out by his first name in order to wake him up so that he can lead them in the Fajr prayer. Because sometimes, and this will happen a lot in the month of Ramadan, by the way, you're going to wake up too early. And, you know, if you're working throughout the day, you want to make sure that you're getting the maximum amount of sleep, so you can't afford to wake up too early. You have to wake up and go to sleep at the perfect time. Well, these guys, they would wake up too early, and so they would want the Prophet to wake up early as well, and so they would call him. They would call his name from behind the barriers. And of course, the Quran says, don't engage in that type of behavior. Give the Prophet respect. Don't expect him to just, you know, follow your commands as you wish. And when you call upon him, if you do call upon him with respect. Don't call upon him in the same way that you call upon one another. Sometimes when they called upon one another, they would use certain nicknames. The Quran says, don't use nicknames. Don't belittle anybody. And so, part of that chapter and the verse that I read was verse number 14. Verse number 14 says, قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. So the A'rab are whom? Who are the A'rab? The A'rab were the gentleman who usually answers the questions, sits right there. He's not with us tonight, Brother Ammar. He has the answers to all the questions. Who are the A'rab? We'll ask the mother of his child. Who are the A'rab? The A'rab are the Bedouins. The Bedouins are referred to as Al-A'rab. Not Al-Arab. Al-Arab means the Arabs. Al-A'rab, the Bedouins. So the Bedouins, they say, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ. The Bedouins, they say to you, Ya Rasulallah. What do they say? Amanna. What does Amanna mean? What does Amanna mean? Amanna means we have accepted Iman. We have Iman, meaning we have belief. That's their claim. The reply, God tells the Prophet, reply and say the following. قُلْ, say to them, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. That you do not believe, because God knows what's in their hearts. قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. What's more appropriate for you to say, what is truly reflective of how you feel inside, is not Iman, but it is Islam. And what is Islam? Islam simply is a proclamation. Of course, there has to be, you have to believe in the proclamation. It's not just the utterance of the mouth. If somebody accidentally says the Shahada, they don't enter into the religion of Islam. There has to be an intent, because our actions, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, our actions have to follow a certain intent. So if I accidentally sell my home to someone and I didn't mean to sell my home, well, the home still belongs to me. So there actually has to be an intent. So what the Quran says is, don't say amanna, قُلُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. What's more important to you is to say that we have accepted Islam. So what's the backstory behind this? It's significant. Because what the Quran here is saying is that with Islam, with the proclamation of Islam, and what is the proclamation of Islam? What do we refer to those two phrases as? What are they called? The two statements. What are they called? Shahadatain or Shahadatan. So two Shahada, two proclamations. The first is, and la ilaha illallah, that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. That was the proclamation. From the beginning, that was the proclamation. Now, the reason why this is important, and I won't go into too much detail, but just to, you know, maybe for those who are interested to delve deeper into this research, is that there's a difference between submission, which is Islam, and belief, which is Iman. What the Quran here is saying is that belief is better than just submission. Submission is what a servant does. It's what a slave does. There's nothing wrong with being a servant. There's nothing wrong with being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are a slave of no man, except that you are the slave of Allah. There's nothing wrong with being a servant. But a higher level of belief than being just than submission is actual iman, is actual belief. Submission then is for slaves, and belief is for free men and women. And so, what's important about this verse is that this group of people, the Bedouins, these wanderers, right? These travelers, they came to the Muslims when the Muslims were experiencing prosperity, when they were experiencing self-sufficiency, when they can defend the perimeter of their city, when they can feed themselves, when they can clothe themselves, when they didn't have to rely on any outside community for protection or for support. They had achieved self-sufficiency. A group of Bedouins came and they said, قالت الأعراب آمنا, that we have believed. And the reason they proclaimed belief is because they thought that if they proclaim belief in the same thing that the Prophet and his community believed in, that they would receive the same privileges and the same advantages. Because they were running away from drought. Apparently they had a terrible drought. It was like Southern California. They had a really bad drought. Their crops had died out. There was no food. And they were running away from poverty. So they came from poverty to prosperity. And so the Prophet said that, look, we'll share with you what you have, what we have. We'll share. We'd be willing to share that. But don't claim Iman. Claim Islam. Iman is a level above. And I want to, maybe it'll make more sense if I sort of illustrate. So today, we live in the world of the modern nation state. And if somebody wants to migrate from one country to another, say migrate from, of course these are all terms that the modern world uses, Middle East and Southeast and West and all of that. But let's just, for argument's sake, let's say that someone wants to move from a country in what is today known as the Middle East or Africa to the United States. For them to migrate, there are certain conditions that they have to fulfill. You have to apply for a visa, and then when you apply for the visa, most likely when you apply for that visa, there's different types of visas that make you eligible. So if you're a student, there's a type of visa where you invest a certain amount of money and you'll receive that visa. A fiancé visa or a spouse visa or a relative visa. Each one of these, and many of you have either gone through the process for yourself or for different family members, there are certain conditions that have to be met. You have to do a background check, right? You can't be a criminal. If you're a criminal and they find out, that'll get in the way of you receiving your visa. But those are conditions that you have to meet in order to be able to migrate to the country. Now, just being able to migrate to the country doesn't give you all of the rights and privileges as someone who is a citizen of the country. So what are some of those privileges that you get once you become a citizen? Well, number one, you can vote. Number two, the highest privilege of all, you can pay taxes. You can pay a lot of taxes. It's a big privilege, right? So those are things which are reserved only for people. And by the way, once you come here as a migrant, you have to prove yourself so that you can be a citizen. It doesn't happen. So you have to keep a clean record. You can't have any felonies or anything like that, because all that will stand in the way. You have to, in some cases, demonstrate that you have learned the language. They want to see that you're a productive member. Sometimes you'll sit in front of the officer and the first thing that they'll ask you for is your driving record. They want to make sure that you have a clean driving record. The point is that you have to prove that you want to willingly become a citizen of the country. Only then you become eligible for certain rights. The reason why I'm describing this is because I want you to imagine when these Bedouins came, and it's as if they were coming and they wanted the rights of a citizen. But what God is saying in the Quran is that there's a process that has to take place first, that has to be established before you can have those rights and those privileges. And number one is that you have to accept being a Muslim before accepting being a believer. Now the reason I bring this up is because a lot of questions come up. Some of you have probably received these questions. Was Islam spread by the sword? That's one question. It's an important question. Was Islam spread by the sword? If you haven't received this question, your child or your coworker is going to ask you this question. Was Islam truly spread by the sword? Because we hear about this all the time. And then what's the deal with apostates? Why do apostates get their heads chopped off? What's the whole thing with that? Those two questions right there, which are major questions, which one day you're going to get asked those questions, and if you haven't, that means that you just haven't mixed enough with people. But once you do start mixing with people, you're going to start getting these questions. Those relate to this idea, the idea of what is citizenship in Islam. Now, I'm not going to go fully in detail because that will require a series of lectures, not just 20 minutes. But for those of you who are interested, there are articles that I can refer to you that will explain that process. But the whole point behind this verse is that God is telling them, look, you have to understand that belief comes in stages. Belief doesn't always, it's not something that happens overnight. You may accept Islam, and anyone may accept Islam. Anyone who is of sound mind can accept Islam. People who understand what they're doing, they can accept Islam. But that belief, that iman, is a level which takes time to attain. See, time is also an important factor in revealing belief and in also revealing the opposite of belief, disbelief. Because some people will say, I believe. And then what happens? Over a period of time, because as human beings, if you think about it, we're very transactional. We're always expecting something. So you'll say, I believe, but then God doesn't give you what you want. Now, since you didn't give me what I want, I'm not going to believe anymore. It's very, very transactional. We always, and that's when you have weak faith. When you have weak faith, you become very transactional. But when you have strong faith, you're no longer transactional. And that's why there are people, especially wives, not husbands so much, but especially wives, that bear the grunt of everything that takes place in the household, and they know they're not receiving anything in return, but they still do it. That's very strong faith. That's a sign of very strong faith. There's a lot of reward for that. Since we're about to celebrate Mother's Day, it's important to bring that up. So, what the Quran is saying is don't be transactional. Understand that belief, it's going to take time for belief to develop. Even the Prophet Ibrahim, what did he ask for? He wanted to see. God told him that I can do it. He said, I wanted to see. So God tells him to take the birds and to slaughter them and to mix their remains and then to put them on top of the mountains. And then God brought them back. He brought them back to life in their original form. The people of Musa, they wanted to see God. They wanted to see in order to raise their level of belief. Now it's said that this tribe, the tribe of Bedouins that came, some narrators or some commentators rather, they say that this tribe was the tribe of Banu Asad. Now it's not the same Banu Asad, because there is a Banu Asad that were in Karbala. The people who supported the family of Imam Hussein, they were also known as Banu Asad. This isn't the same tribe, this is another tribe. So, قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. Don't say we've attained faith, say we have attained Islam. That's a proclamation that you make verbally. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So wait for faith to enter your heart. It's a matter of the heart, not just a matter of verbal proclamation. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قلوا أسلمنا. The next verse says, إنما المؤمنون. So God is further describing who the believers truly are. Who are those believers? So you, O Bedouins, you're asking for belief. Well, let me describe to you what belief is. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله. They believe in God and they believe in Prophet. ثم لم يرتابوا. Only they are the believers who believe in God and His Messenger, then do not doubt. Before talking about spending their wealth and spending their time, number one is doubt. And doubt is one of those, it's one of those things that afflicts all of us. We're afflicted with doubt. Some of us on a daily basis, some of us, I mean, you're not born out of the womb of your mother and you think, oh, that's it, I've reached that level of yaqeen, I've reached that level of certainty to where I don't need to pray. Because there are people who say that. They say that the five daily prayers are just for these weak-hearted people, the ones that don't have yaqeen. I have yaqeen. I don't need to pray on a daily basis, which is a very, very flawed thinking. It's like if you were to work out for a number of years, and you were to get in physical shape and say, I'm in very good physical shape. I don't need to work out anymore. I don't need to exercise. In fact, the more muscle you have, the more effort you have to put in order to maintain that, right? The right amount of foods. You have to eat the right amount of foods. You have to not eat sugars. You have to do all that stuff that nobody wants to do in order to maintain it. The more faith that you have, some people think that, I wish I had the iman of this person. How do you know that this person is not struggling every single day? It's because this person has developed certain habits that they're at that level of iman, that their level of faith. God doesn't just inspire and put iman in somebody's heart and that's it, he's protected. He or she is protected. In fact, the more faith that you have, the more you probably have to do in order to protect that faith. Now, Shaytan doesn't go after the lower level people. He goes after the elite, the cream of the crop. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. So the people who, not afflicted by doubt, but they don't allow their doubt to make them backpedal and take a step back. Because as human beings, we're always afflicted by doubt. There's a narration by Imam Ali alayhi salam, and this comes from Nahj al-Balagha, and it is a statement from one of his sermons. He says the following, and he talks about doubt. Now, what's the Arabic name for doubt? It begins with a sheem. Okay, there's shak, but there's also shubha. The word I was looking for was shubha. Of course, the word that the Quran says is lam yartabu. Yartabu comes from riba. Riba is also a form of doubt. But shubha says the following. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says the following about shubha. He says, وَإِنَّمَا سُمِّيَتْ أَشُبْهَةُ شُبْهَةً لِأَنَّهَا تُشْبِهُ الْحَقِّ. So when you say shubha, shubha is mistake. Like you say ishtibah, right? Or there are other words that are derived from this. What is, so ishtibah we use to say mistake, ishtibah. Okay, what about shabih? Shabih means like. Those are two opposite meanings. So what's the deal with that? Imam Ali alayhi salam describes. He says, the reason why it's called shubha or doubt or mistake, لِأَنَّهَا تُشْبِهُ الْحَقِّ. Because it is similar, it looks like haqq, but it's not truly haqq. Haqq is truthfulness. Because it looks like truthfulness, but it's not. That's where the word comes from. And so and so that's why the verse says that it's not that the believers, they never doubt themselves. They never have uncertainty. You know, sometimes, again, we see very successful people or people who we consider at a very high level of belief. They're plagued by the same things that we are. You have to have a mechanism that you develop. And that's exactly why we have habits. That's exactly why the prayer is 5 times a day. That's exactly why Ramadan is once a year and not once every 10 years. So that you develop a mechanism that allows you to overcome fear. It allows you to overcome doubt. It allows you to overcome uncertainty. لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. So a continuation of the description of the believers. In another verse, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That they will not believe, general address to all Muslims, they shall not attain a legitimate level of belief until they come to you, Ya Rasulullah, in their affairs. So if they have a challenge going on, they don't just let that challenge, most of the time whenever we're facing a challenge, I mean, who do we counsel with? If you're not counseling with anyone, then you're counseling with yourself. We usually counsel with ourselves and our own understanding, our own misunderstanding, I should say. But it says that the believers are the ones that if they're facing a challenge, who do they come to? They come to you, Ya Rasulullah. They ask you to judge in their affairs. And after you've judged, level 2, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. They don't find a hardship within themselves to accept your decree. Sometimes when someone tells us something that we don't want to hear, we counsel with someone, our parents, or someone who knows more than us. When they give you a judgment, you find something in your heart. I'll do it, but there's still something, I have a reservation in my heart. The Quran says no reservations. True belief is no reservations. Not at all. And there'll come a day where you're taking advice from your parents now, but there will come a day where your children will be also taking counsel and advice from you. فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. So I'll move along just to be concise with time. But the last verse that I want to look at is verse number 17. يمنون عليك أن أسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين. So it says that, you know, what are the attitudes of these people that are just, you know, they waltz into the community and they start demanding certain things. They start demanding certain privileges. Is that when they do that, they come to you as if it is an umniyah. Meaning what? As if they're doing you a favor. So they came to the Prophet, they would say, okay, well we're going to proclaim the faith, you're going to give us privileges, and we're doing you a favor by coming here. So the response that God tells the Prophet is, tell them that you're not doing anybody a favor. If you accept guidance, you're not doing anybody a favor. If you accept truth, you're not doing anybody a favor. In fact, the Muslims had to give up some of their resources, some of their precious resources that they fought for. And, you know, this is a more general address because sometimes, again, we because we're, as human beings, we're very transactional. Whenever something happens, we act as if we're doing a favor to God. So you've given sadaqah and you want something in return. You've given, I don't know, you've gone to Hajj. For those of you who have been to Hajj, I've been many times. And people, alhamdulillah, and people, you know, they come in and because they pay a certain amount of money, they feel like they're entitled to something above everybody else. And the Quran says that that's the wrong attitude. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّ عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Don't act like your acceptance of Islam is a favor to me. Don't act like it's a favor to the Prophet. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the verse in Surah Al-Jum'ah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet. He tells him, Ya Rasulullah, all these people that are coming to you, you don't need them and their acceptance of Islam to validate who you are as an individual, as a human being. And I said that sometimes where we always want people to validate our feelings. It's because, again, we have a very weak faith muscles because we don't believe in ourselves. So we always want acceptance and validation from other people. Because you don't know what you're truly worth or your value in the eyes of God. And what does God tell the Prophet? He tells him that all you need is one person. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عَنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Says the only person that you need is the one with the knowledge of the book. He's not mentioned by name. But that's the attribute of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi afdalus salatu wassalam. That's the person that that God tells the Prophet that as long as you have him by your side, you don't need anybody else. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course this is the last Thursday before the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Unless Ramadan is on Friday or Saturday, you know, anything's possible these days. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this holy night to allow us to be among those who receive His forgiveness and His guidance in the holy month of Ramadan. As our dear brother Haj Samir mentioned, there are people with us that were with us last year who are no longer with us this year. Parents, friends, relatives, many to name. And you know, let's take that as a sign that everything that we do, let us commit our fullest to it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that blessing, that tawfiq, that we commit fully to Him in this holy month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow this to be a month of healing, a month of blessings, a month of mercy, and that He bring relief to all of those across the world who are in need of relief, who are in need of help, who are in need of assistance. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not allow anything to get in the way of Him accepting our supplications in this holy month. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mehdi. May Allah protect you, inshallah, and bless you. As I mentioned earlier, this is the schedule for the month. You will find a copy of it outside if you would like to get one. And we would like to have one for per family, so we can make sure that everybody gets it. Another thing I wanted to mention, just in 30 seconds, those of you who would like to sponsor any of the nights, please see me after the program, or anytime you can call me if you have my number.